Alrighty, good morning. Before we get started this morning, I do have some announcements. TJ touched on it, but we have the sign-up sheet for the marriage date night in. And if you're married, really anybody can come to the, no children. We're not having children at this event. But if you're single and you want to watch us married folks play a game of the newlywed game, we're going to have a meal. We'll have some questions. We're going to play around. I'm bringing in a guest host, so we're going to have a play a couple rounds of the newlywed game. And whoever wants to be not in charge of the food, but if you want to help out with the food, I think me and Andrew Krazak are going to smoke some pork. And if anybody wants to participate in some side items, I don't know how all that stuff gets organized, but let it be known that we need some sides and some other stuff. We and that goofy fella back in the back will handle the meat, and if people can bring sides, it would be great. And if anybody wants to help me organize that, that would also be great. But I want to congratulate Morgan Wimsett. I don't think she is here this week. I'm going to set this out of the way. But I want to congratulate Morgan and Will Noonan, and also Mark and Sandy Toole, who joined the church last week. That was a very good week, good way to celebrate within the church. So this week we are discussing, we're still in our Nine Marks of a Healthy Church series, and we are discussing a biblical understanding of evangelism. So last week we discussed a biblical understanding of conversion. Conversion happens when a person hears the message of the gospel, they understand their own sinfulness, and God lifts the blinders from their face so that all of this becomes truth. I am sinful. I need a Savior. God, through His power, reveals that as truth in your life, and that's when a person is saved. So this week we will discuss a biblical understanding of evangelism, and we will consider a few questions this week as we consider evangelism. What is evangelism? Who should evangelize? How should we evangelize? And why should we evangelize? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word, and your word tells us that we should tell other people about you. And you commission us to do this. You say, go to all the nations and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is a command that you give us to do. So this morning we will learn how we should do that, why we should do that, and who should do that. And I pray that it is made clear and made known that that should be the ultimate purpose of our entire lives is to share the gospel, the message that you have given us for salvation through your Son and Jesus to everyone who is willing to hear it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what is evangelism? Who should evangelize? How should we evangelize? And why should we evangelize? So, we're going to start with what is evangelism? What is evangelism? Who do you think of when you hear the word evangelism? I see Cody laughing at me, and I don't know why, but that's okay. I called Andrew goofy. He's probably why he's laughing. I'm the goofy one. Okay, so who do you think of when you think about evangelism? The first person I think of is Billy Graham. Does anybody, surely somebody knows who Billy Graham was? He was a great evangelist in the long, not that long ago, but he just died in the last couple of years. But when I think about evangelism, I think about Billy Graham. And I was saved in 2017, so I didn't know who Billy Graham was until a couple of years ago. But if you go back on YouTube, you can watch the Billy Graham Crusades. And I went down a deep rabbit hole, not that deep, about an hour-long rabbit hole of Billy Graham listening this week. And he spoke at Yankee Stadium in 1957 to a crowd of 100,000 people. And he called those people to repentance. His preaching style is a little bit different than mine. If you've ever heard him, he has a unique style. The first thing he did was insisted that everybody be still and quiet. And I thought, well, maybe we're not that dissimilar because I did that exact same thing to Parker last week in front of everybody. So he did. He says, he kind of shouts. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. He says, "Now I wish everybody would be still and quiet. We do not want to be a distraction to anybody." And then he just hammers repentance and salvation in that same tone. Just, we're living in a broken world and we got to repent. Like that's not my style. That's Billy Graham's style. But the message is the same. The message is the same. To be saved, one must repent and believe the gospel to be saved. So the question is, what is evangelism? Billy Graham was a great example of an evangelist, but what is evangelism? And here's your one sentence summary for the week. Evangelism is simply this: telling people of the good news of the gospel. That is evangelism. God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created Adam and Eve. And almost immediately, Adam and Eve sinned. And that created a separation between God and Adam and Eve. And because of this fall of Adam and Eve, humanity was broken. We are broken. We are sinful, just as Adam and Eve were sinful. But God sent Jesus, His Son, to earth to redeem us. He sent Jesus to make us new, to make us whole. We are sinful and we need a Savior. Jesus is our Savior, and if we believe this, we are saved and we inherit eternal life. So evangelism is simply the sharing of the message of the gospel. And if evangelism is simply the sharing of the message of the gospel, what is evangelism not? There's a couple things evangelism is not. And all of this comes from that Nine Marks of a Healthy Church book. Evangelism is not imposition. So sometimes we might think, should I impose my Christian beliefs on other people? Should I impose my beliefs about Jesus onto someone who may not believe? And my answer to this is yes. Yes, we should. Why should we impose our beliefs? Because if we are saved, if we believe in the message of the gospel, we see the message of the gospel as a fact, not an opinion of our belief. We should see it as true and factual. Now, does this mean that we're going to run around aggressively screaming the message of the gospel to people until they believe? No, that's not what we're called to do. We are called to share the message of the gospel because of our belief, because we believe it to be true and factual. So we are only responsible for delivering the message of the gospel. We are not responsible for the results of the gospel response. Not everyone is going to hear the gospel and come to faith in Jesus. We know this to be true. So do not consider evangelism as imposition, or do not think that it's offensive. It is offensive, but we should believe it to be true, or it can be viewed as offensive. That, you know, you start telling people how sinful they are, they might see that as offensive. We are sinful. All of us are sinful. So evangelism is not imposition. The good news of Jesus Christ is factual to all who have repented and believed and have been saved by the good news. Another thing evangelism is not personal testimony. Now, you might think, well, yes, it is. Well, I'm going to give you an example here. Hear me out. Our personal testimony can be evangelistic, but we have to be very intentional if we wish to share the message of the gospel in our personal testimony. So I'm going to make up a personal testimony. And the last time I gave a hypothetical, I used the name Dwayne, okay? And I'm sorry if any of y'all's names are Dwayne, but Dwayne is my made-up character for this church. Dwayne is a man, so I am Dwayne. Hi, everyone. My name is Dwayne. I was a tormented drug user. I've been hooked on drugs for 10 years and living under a bridge. Somebody came to me one day and invited me to church. I went to church. I found Jesus there. I haven't used drugs since that day. Jesus is powerful and He is my Lord and Savior. So that's Dwayne's personal testimony. But Dwayne did not share the gospel in his personal testimony. It's a great story. It's a great story that Dwayne went from death to life, but he left. Whoever was listening to him did not hear the gospel. So what Dwayne should have said is this: hi, my name is Dwayne. Hi, everybody. My name is Dwayne. Thank you. Thank you. I was a tormented drug user. I've been hooked on drugs for 10 years, living under a bridge. One day, somebody came and invited me to church, and I went. I found Jesus there. I haven't used drugs since that day. Jesus is powerful, and He is my Lord and Savior. Do you want to know why He is my Lord and Savior? He's my Lord and Savior because He came to this earth and He died on the cross to redeem me. I had sin in my life. I was more concerned about myself than anything else. I went to church and I heard the message of the gospel there. The message tells us that we are sinful and we need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior that we need. He came and lived a perfect life. He died for my sinful self. You know who else He died for? You. He died for you. He died for the forgiveness of your sins also. And if you would turn from your sins and turn towards Him in genuine belief, you can also be saved and be in relationship with Him. So Dwayne, the first time, didn't share, he shared his story, but he didn't share the gospel when he shared his story. Now, the second time, Dwayne shared the gospel. Now, do we know who came to faith because Dwayne shared the gospel? No, we don't. Dwayne might see radical transformation in the life of his friends by sharing the gospel with people, or he may not. But the results of evangelism are not his responsibility. He's just to share the gospel is what we are called to do. So we are to share the gospel when we're sharing our story. Don't just go around inviting people to church. Do that. But when you're, if you have people in your life that you can invite to church, just go on and share the gospel with them and then invite them to church. And a preacher friend of mine one day, I was telling him about something. We were talking about evangelism in a Bible study, and he said, I told him what happened. I invited somebody to church. And he said, well, it sounds like you invited them to church, but you didn't invite them to Christ. And I thought, lesson learned there. He really called me out on that one because I just invited. Some people have been wounded by church, okay? If you've been in church long enough, somebody said something to offend you. You don't, you know, this happens, that happens, whatever. Some people have been wounded by church. So let's invite them to Jesus first and church second. Okay. Another thing evangelism is not. Evangelism is not social action. So going to a pride rally with a sign is not evangelism. Fighting with people online about abortion is not evangelism. Voting for Trump is not evangelism. Social action is not evangelism. So, having a conversation with someone at a pride rally about they were created in the image of God, we're all sinful and fall short, sharing the gospel with them, that is evangelism. But simply going and voicing your opinions about how everything is wrong at certain things is not evangelism. So, this same sort of conversation can be had with couples that are living together and sleeping together before marriage. Sin is sin in the eyes of God, and we must turn from our sin and turn towards God. We are sinful. We need a Savior. God doesn't want us to live in sin. No matter what the sin is, He wants us to turn from our sin and turn towards Him through our belief in Jesus' death on the cross. Okay? So, evangelism is not voicing our opinions and showing everybody our self-righteousness. Evangelism is saying, I am sinful, you are sinful, we need a Savior, and we have one. Jesus has come for all of us. Turn from this mess that you are in and turn towards God. Evangelism is sharing the message of the gospel. The last thing evangelism is not, and I've already touched on this a little bit, evangelism is not the results of evangelism. So the results of evangelism are either people come to faith or they don't. Those are the results. And we, humans, don't get to determine those results, okay? We need to make effort to lead people to Christ the best that we can, but we aren't responsible for, the Holy Spirit is who decides when and how and where a person is saved, but we are commanded to share the gospel. So we are the mailmen. We have the message. We deliver the message clearly and lovingly with the help of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit decides to do after that is up to Him. The results of evangelism are up to God, not man. So simply, I'll say it again, evangelism is the declaration of the message of the gospel to individual men and women. Our next question for today is, who should evangelize? Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Those words are hard for me to say. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So, this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. Both of these guys are pastors. But the question is, who should evangelize? Is it Paul? Is it Timothy? Is it Tink? Is it Heather? Is it Sims? Is it Parker? And the answer is yes. If we are saved, we should all be sharing the gospel with people. All of us, if we are saved. All of us who have a beating heart that has been transformed by the power of God should be sharing the gospel. We are the people that should be sharing the good news to Jesus, to all the nations and all the people and all of our neighbors and all of our friends. Not just the pastor, not just Sunday school teachers. All saved people should be pointing people to Jesus through the sharing of the gospel. And we might ask ourselves this question, these questions. I've asked myself these questions before. Am I trained enough for evangelism? Do I know enough? And the answer to that question is yes. If you are saved, you know the gospel message, or you definitely, there's no way to be saved if you don't know the gospel message. So you've heard it, you understand it, you claim that you believe in it, and you've staked your whole life on it. Evangelism is simply explaining this gospel message to somebody else. Now, we can always get better at sharing the gospel with people over time, but if you know and understand the gospel message, you are equipped already to share the gospel. This good news transformed your life if you're saved. So you are equipped enough. You get more training. More training is good. But if you are saved, you've heard the gospel and you understand it, and you should be able to share it with others. This passage in 2 Timothy, contextually, is written from Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor and Paul was kind of his mentor. But this passage applies to all of us. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. This is for all of us. And in Sunday school, we've been in the book of 1 Timothy, and we've talked about roles in the church. You know, women shouldn't be preaching from the pulpit and yada, yada, yada. But individually, to people that we encounter, we are all responsible to preach the gospel to people. Does everybody agree with that? If we are saved, we are called to preach the gospel to the lost. Okay? So this is for all of us. And as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is for all of us. So if we are saved, we are to do these things. We are to share the gospel, and we are to point people to Christ. Next question is, how should we evangelize? How should we evangelize? We should tell people honestly that that we all need to repent and believe in the gospel to be saved. And this isn't the most comfortable thing to do. To walk up to somebody it really takes strategy to do this. I'm still, in many instances, I wouldn't consider myself the greatest at just cold calling people with the gospel. Think about how many people you encounter at Kroger or at the gym or this or that. But you think of ways. We're so quick to ask people, well, what do you do for work? I was just thinking about this week as I was writing. I was thinking about this week as I was writing this sermon. I thought, we're so quick to ask each other, what do you do for work? When we could just ask simply, what do you think God's purpose is for your life? And that conversation, it'll either die right there or it will open up anything that you wanted to share with somebody. What do you think God's purpose is for your life? And then the person might either, if they're a believer, it will be evident in their answer. You'll know, well, I think biblically God's purpose in my life is for me to share the gospel with as many people as I can. And if they're not saved, they'll say, well, I've never thought about that. And if they say, I've never thought about that, wham! You've got somebody to share the gospel with right there in front of you. And I'm preaching at myself and to myself on that one, because I'm quick to have small talk and I could easily turn it into a spiritual gospel conversation. And many times I walk away and I don't do that. So I need to repent of that right now in this moment. And we all need to find ways to have gospel conversations with people. So, and in that gospel conversation, sin needs to be discussed. We're all sinful. We all do dumb things. So we can't understand our need for a Savior if we don't understand our desperation. It's not possible. We must understand our depravity before we can understand our need to be saved from that depravity. So, unfortunately, we have to point that out to people sometimes. Like, hey, I'm broken. So are you. That's why Jesus came. Okay? In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And that's what Billy Graham was screaming at Yankee Stadium in 1957. "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And we got to see this last weekend when Morgan was here. She heard the gospel. I don't know specifically at what point yet. I'm going to get to know Morgan better as she grows in this church. But at what point does a person hear the gospel and it just clicks? But it seemed to me, from my perspective, last week was the time she said, "I am sent." When she walked forward, I said, "You understand that you are sinful?" She said, "Yes." "You understand your need for a Savior? You believe that Jesus came and died for you?" "Yes." This is biblical conversion. Okay, this is repentance. "I am sinful. I want to follow God." And that's an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness in our lives. For Him to reveal to us that we are sinful and we need saving, and He's already sent Jesus for the answer to that. So, how should we evangelize? We should evangelize urgently. We do not know when our time on this earth will end. We have no idea. We might think we know, but we do not. We need to be sharing the good news of the gospel as often and as urgently as we can. How should we evangelize? We should evangelize prayerfully. We need to pray for people that we encounter. We need to pray that God would do a miraculous work in their life. We spend a lot of time praying people back to health, you know, as a church, not just this church, but I'm in America. I talk about the American church. We spend a lot of time praying about health and comfort and all of these things. We might not perceive it as comfort, but we spend a lot of time praying for health. But how much time are we spending praying for the salvation of our lost family, our lost friends, our lost wives, and our lost husbands? It's acceptable to pray for physical health, but why do we neglect so often to pray for the spiritual health of those around us? There are dead people all around us that have a pulse, they have eyesight, they can walk, but they are walking dead. Let's be a people in this church. We only have control of this church. Let's be a people devoted to praying for the lost. Let's pray for ourselves that we would have the boldness to share the gospel message and wake up these walking dead folks. We aren't the ones to wake them up, but our mouths are the one that deliver the message that has the potential to wake them up. Pray that these people would wake up and know that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Pray that we would be the vessel by which the dead hear the gospel. And this answers our final question of today. Why do we evangelize? We evangelize because if we don't share the good news of the gospel, people will live their lives not knowing Jesus, and they will die and they will go to hell. This is what the Bible teaches, and it sounds offensive, but it's true. If we say we believe the Bible says, apart from Jesus, we are doomed. Okay, so we evangelize because we love the lost, and we should love the lost. And if we don't love the lost, we might question our salvation in the first place. To be saved, a person must hear the gospel, recognize their own personal sinfulness, and call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So we evangelize because we desire to be obedient to the God that loves us. He delivered to us a great commission, which we've already talked about in the book of Matthew. He says, "Go to all the nations, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And it's okay to invite people to church, but inviting people to church is not evangelism. God wants you, all of us, me included, to share the gospel with people. He doesn't say, the Great Commission is, hey, invite people to church so that they can hear Tink preach. It says, go to all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in other places of the Bible, it's encouraged that we share the gospel on an individual level. it's okay to invite them to church to hear me. I might put them to sleep, but that's okay. They will hear the gospel when they get here. But the Great Commission is that we share the gospel. We evangelize because we have a love for the lost. And again, I'll say it, if we don't have a love for the lost, we might question our salvation in the first place. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 reads this way. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus has called us, you and me, to be the laborers. And there are people out there that are like lost sheep without a shepherd. And we don't see shepherds in our culture too much. And I have a joke written in here, and I don't see the person in the room. And that might be all right. But we don't see shepherds running around very frantically in our current culture. But I got to witness a frantic shepherd this week. I got to witness Sandra Cups chasing a loose cow and a calf this week, and she was zealous. And why was she frantic and zealous? Because she loves her cattle and didn't want to see them get hit by a car on 18. She was urgent, she was bold, she was direct, and she was on mission. What if we, as a church, decided to show that same zeal, that same urgency, that same boldness, that same mission to the lost people that are all around us? We all know who they are. We all know where they are. But sometimes we decide to sit on our hands and do nothing. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. My final point for today is this. We evangelize because we love God. And he tells us to share the gospel with everybody that we encounter. He commands us to share the gospel. He commands us to repent, believe, and devote our lives to the sharing of the gospel. And he loves us so much that he sent his son to earth to die for us. We are broken. Is anybody else broken in this room? Is anybody else sinful in this room? And God has sent his son. He knows how broken we are. Throughout the whole Old Testament, people tried to follow God, and he said, "Okay, I've had enough. Here's Jesus. I'm going to send Jesus to this earth to be the payment for your sins. And if we believe this, we have been saved, and we should carry on our lives as the gospel being our primary focus, to share the gospel with Bellevue and Petersburg and people at work and everywhere we go. We can even go to the other end of the world and share the gospel, but we can definitely all start right here where we are sharing the gospel." So God loves us so much that he sent his son to earth to die for us, that we would be redeemed. And this is the gospel. So let's be a group of people that share the gospel with the people that we encounter as zealously and as focused and as determined as Sandra Cups was chasing those cattle up Grumpy's driveway the other night, because me and Grumpy got a heck of a show. And if we would all have that much energy for the gospel that we have for, and I'm not picking on Sandra, we're all guilty of this. We focus on a lot of Sandra's cattle matter. I'm glad that they survived the tragedy. But we focus on things that really aren't that important, and we neglect the one thing that is of utmost importance, and we should be living it out on a daily basis, every single day. So let's be a church that decides to urgently and deliberately love the lost through the sharing of the gospel message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we have the zeal and the energy and the endurance and the confidence to share the gospel with people that we encounter at work and even within this church and everywhere we go, to our family members. I know we all have lost people around us. If you look at percentages, you know, there's all kinds of studies about whether or not, you know, we don't know the nature of people's salvations really, but the overwhelming majority of people that we encounter are not saved. So let us be a people that will open our mouths and share the gospel. And I pray that if somebody in here has heard the gospel this morning and they understand that they are sinful and that they need a Savior, then they would understand that they have been saved by the grace of God. It's a gift from God, and they've been saved by the grace of God through the message of the gospel. And we should be delivering this message, and we should prayerfully expect the Holy Spirit to move when we are obedient to follow the command to share the gospel. And when we don't see the results that we desire, we carry on anyways, knowing that it's God who is in control of people's salvation and not us. We are simply to share the message of the gospel and love people well. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.